Dear God, thank you that you are here. That in the stillness, when we calm our hearts, we know and hear that you are God. Lord, calm our hearts this morning to hear your word. Bless Martin as he delivers it. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. Help him to speak from your heart. To speak your words, Lord. To speak your peace. And help our hearts to be open to receive it, Lord. To hear your word this very day. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Am I on? Yep. Good morning. Good
morning.
Peace. This week, the Advent season, we've come round to peace. Joy, hope, peace, love. The world tries so hard to sell us those things. Especially happiness and especially peace. Millions of millions of dollars or pounds or euros are spent selling us these lifestyles. Have you ever noticed when adverts try to sell you something, they sell you a lifestyle? You'll see a guy come out of his house, wave goodbye to his kids, kiss his wife, get in his BMW, and drive away all happy. Advertising tries to sell us something that it hasn't got. This lifestyle of success. If we buy the right car, if we live in the right area, if we purchase this nice house, if we wear the right clothes, if we shop in the right shops, if we wear the right watch. Keeping up with the Joneses. Chasing something that is elusive, that you never quite get. Just one more thing and you'll be happy. The carrot and the donkey. And we go round and round in circles, pursuing something that is elusive, that we can't quite get hold of, that Christ has already purchased for us through his blood on the cross. Millions of people are spending millions of dollars chasing this illusion, purchasing happiness, joy and peace, but it can't be bought. But the Bible tells us it's vanity. Solomon said it's all vanity. We know as Christians that Jesus Christ is our peace. But here's the problem this morning. Why is it lacking in our experience? Why are our lives so stressful? Why do we worry so much? What are we afraid of? Why is peace so often lacking in our daily experience? Where's it gone? What is peace? Well, peace isn't a lack of trouble. That's worldly peace. If I don't have any trouble, if I don't have any problems, I don't want to cause any waves, my life will be peaceful. But that's worldly peace. The Christian's experience of peace is peace despite war, peace despite trouble, peace despite conflict, peace despite our problems. We are to live at peace and do everything we can to live at peace with each other. Of course we are. But we can't control other people. We can't control circumstances. I was 54 last week. Now's the time. You don't look it, but I certainly feel it. And the older I get, the more I realize I can control very little. When I was a young man, I thought I could change the world. And I realize I can't even change myself. I can't change myself. Only through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ can we have any real influence, any lasting influence. And even in that, we don't have as much as we think we have. But the Lord promises us peace. The prophets prophesied it. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. When Isaiah prophesied this about our Lord Jesus Christ, he prophesied about his time on earth and the future. So how can Jesus Christ be mighty God? How can he be the everlasting Father? Well, he is. We had a sermon a few weeks ago about the Trinity and about that glorious mystery. And we know in Scripture that Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father. And this was proclaimed. The prophets prophesied it to us, and the angels proclaimed his coming. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, sang about it in Luke. Jesus will shine on those living in darkness, and death will only become a shadow. He will guide our feet into the path of peace. The angel Gabriel proclaimed it. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. C.S. Lewis says, God can't give us peace and happiness apart from himself, because there is no such thing. Our true peace, our true joy, our true hope, and our true love is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the person of the Godhead. That is the only true way we will experience that. And we must remember that we're living in the year of the Lord's favor. The prophet that prophesied this longed to live in these days when the Lord's favor had come. Do we comprehend it? Guys, it's like having $1 million in the bank and leaving it there. We have access to God 24/7. But we put him in our pocket with our car keys and and we run round and round. And what are these obstacles to our peace? Why would we choose to live without it? I don't think it's a choice we make when we get out of bed this morning. You know what? I'm going to be stressed today. I choose to have a really hard day. I'm not going to have peace today. I'm going to take all the stress and all the worries, and I'm just going to carry them all myself until it drills me down and down and lower in the ground. That's what I'm going to do today. No, folks, none of us choose that. But we just get sort of caught up in it. The cares and worries, the stress of life. Meetings, calendars. What's your calendar like? What's it like? Full? Blocked out? I can see you in about February. How was about that? What? The busyness of life. The busyness of life. Our lives are so fast-paced. Our calendars are so full. Ray, I noticed you've got one of them fancy watches for your iPhone. They're brilliant, aren't they? I collect watches, by the way. But I'm not an iOS Mac guy, as you know. I've got my smartphone, you know, that keeps me up to date with everything. I've got my email accounts. I've got my text accounts. I've got my Viber. What is the Adium? WeChat, WhatsApp, Messenger, Hangouts, Trillium, Kick, Snapchat. Texts, and not forgetting emails that we're constantly being prodded, pinged, text, poked, and binged. 24/7. Have you ever sat with a meeting with Brian Brenchley? Ding, 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 ding. His phone, his watch is going off constantly. But mine's no different. I just have it on silent. It's going bing. Have you got a little blue light flashing? Oh, I must answer that. I must answer that. Who's serving who? Isn't this for our convenience? Isn't this for our pleasure? Isn't this to something to make our lives easier? Being an old guy, you know, the 80s were my thing. I was a young guy in the 80s. And there was a study in 1985. The advance of technology was going so rapidly that the retirement age was going to be between 35 and 40. Now, this is true. This is true. This isn't something I've just made up for a sermon. That the technology was advancing at such a rapid rate that we would be able to retire in our 30s or 40s. It hasn't worked, has it? Because technology has certainly advanced at a rapid rate long since the 80s, but we just become more and more busy, more and more caught up, more and more stressed out, running around in circles, the busyness of life. And I'm convinced this is one of the major challenges of the 21st century. That we need to slow down. We need to slow down. That Paul Simon record, slow down. You move too fast. You gotta let the moment last. We don't. It's the wrong time of year to slow down and smell the roses. But you know what I mean? We're nearly at 2018. Where has the year gone? Where's it gone? The older you get, the time goes by quicker and quicker. And our lives are not very pleasurable. We end up serving this technology, becoming slaves to it. The war within. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. We're in a war, friends. We're in a war. Do we comprehend that we're in a war? And the enemy wants to turn brother against brother, sister against sister. To live for yourself. You've only got one life. Oh, don't be so radical. Breathe out. Enjoy yourself, young man. Come on, you don't know what you're missing. We have a war waging against our soul. And brothers, it says, don't think you're alone. The temptations that you're undergoing, your brothers throughout the world are undergoing them same temptations. The enemy would want us to isolate us. You're the only one that thinks like that. Call yourself a Christian? Sound familiar? The enemy of our soul, Satan, we have an adversary. that despises us because we belong to Christ. Because we belong to the living God. And if you're a Christian, you're in a crossfire. You're marked out. And Satan is coming after you. You know, but our peace does not depend upon that. Our peace is beyond that. We know in John 10:10, it's a very familiar passage of scripture, that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wraps that package up in many temptations. But if you take all the smoke and the mirrors and the tin foil and the shiny bits away, lying behind all them temptations, he wants to steal your testimony. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your family's faith in God. And we get burdened with worry, with shame, with regret and fear. But we're commanded not to worry. But worries in this life are real, aren't they? They're so tangible. They're so real. But we need to slow down. We need to slow down. Is this technology for our convenience? Are we a slave to it? Is our calendars for our experience and convenience? Or are we a slave to it? There's only so much time you have in a day. And you need rest. You need to rejuvenate. You need to revitalize. Life is so fast-paced. The Prince of Peace came to restore our peace. The last words, some of the last words of Jesus when he was about to leave this earth, when he was about to go to the cross, were ones of promises and comfort. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The Prince of Peace came to restore our peace. Today we're celebrating Advent, the birth of Christ, when the prophets prophesied it, the angels heralded it, his birth, peace on earth and favor to mankind. Well, we know the end of the story, that he went to the cross, he defeated death and hell, and he purchased our peace, which is supernatural. It's supernatural to have peace when all around you is falling apart. But this is the reality that we have. We don't rely on a peace that is worldly, that is dependent upon circumstances, that in the middle of it, Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, I've learned the secret of contentment with plenty and with nothing. It isn't about how much material wealth we've got. It isn't about how much money we've got in the bank. It is what is in our heart. Now that verse that I read out in John is a very popular verse. But what is the verse before it? Oh, the verses before it are, Jesus said, it's better if I go to the Father and I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. And it says again in Romans, we just done Romans, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Emmanuel, God with us. It is the power and presence of God in our hearts, in our lives, that gives us peace, joy, hope, and love. We have nishto. Nothing. We are spiritually bankrupt. We bring nothing to the table. It doesn't matter what education, what theology, what degree. These things are good, but they don't give us what we need. They're helpful, but we need something supernatural, and it is available to us, and it is the presence of God in our daily experience through the power and person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this isn't a Pentecostal teaching, this is biblical. In Ephesians it talks about, do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, continually filled. Why? So you can prophesy, so you can speak in tongues, so you can do... No, read what it says, so you speak to each other in love, hymns, spiritual songs. And the next verse, verse 20, Ephesians 5 verse 20 or 21, so you can submit to each other in love. We cannot submit to each other without God's help. We cannot love each other without God's help. We're far too selfish. And we fall short when we try to do all these things in our own strength. And the outside people look at the church and see the hypocrisy of that. And they think, I don't want any part of it. But if we would slow down, get away with God, recognize that we can do nothing, nothing without Him, and bow the knee and say, fill me, O God, I'm a sinful man. We will be justified. We will be filled. We will be overflowing. We will be salt, and we will be light to the people around us. And they say, I don't know what it is, but there's something about you that I want. When we least realize that. So no man can boast. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Why? So He would get the glory. He's a jealous God. This is His character. He doesn't want to share you with your job, with your financial forecasts. They're all good and right things. God wants you. He wants a relationship with you. You're His son, you're His daughter. He wants to put His arms around you and spend time with you. To share your struggles and problems. Will you advance the slide, please? Thank you. Press it again. We need to change our focus. I've spoke about this, and I get really annoyed when people don't tell me how. Yeah, your sermon was great, but how do I do it? Well, we need to change our focus from our problems and for whatever we're facing onto God. The Bible tells us He knows a word before we even speak it. We need to change our focus. We need to include Dad in our lives. If you've got problems that you can't handle and they're getting worse and worse, guess what? God is grabbing your attention. McFly! Only if you're from the 80s you'll know what I'm talking about. God wants you. God wants you. God wants you. If we turn our attention from our problems to God and get the heart and mind of David when all Israel were petrified of Goliath, David said, "Who's this uncircumcised Philistine standing in the way of the God of Israel?" He didn't see how big his problem was. He looked to the size of God, and his problems were minute. And what did he do? He used what he had. Not the king's armor, not the king's sword, the stone and the slingshot to defeat it. Change of focus. Press again, please. Change of circumstances. I would suggest we need to slow down. Be with God. Spend time with God in the morning. Spend time with God in the afternoon. And spend time with God in the evening. Include him. Jesus often went to a solitary place and prayed. You can do this at work. You can go out on your coffee break, have a walk round the block, pray. Include him. Unless you've got it so together that you don't need God in your life or experience. So a change of circumstances. What is that? How do we do that? We get away to be with God. We choose to slow down, to spend time with him. All throughout Scripture, all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, there were great problems. But God was always the answer and always the solution. Transition 3, please. A change of attitude. We need to spend time with God to what? To process life. Because when life is going so fast, we do not process it. We do not ponder it. We do not record it. We do not slow down enough to ask God's opinion about it. And before you realize, you're in December 2017. But today, we can change all that. Process, ponder, meditate on God's word. Tune in to hearing his voice. Do we know God's voice? The Bible tells us the sheep know his voice. Not the lambs, the sheep. And that's maturity and not time saved. That's investment into the relationship. And it takes time to tune in that radio to hear God's voice. But he speaks not only through his word. Speaks to me through pictures. I'll be pondering about an idea and praying to God for help and guidance. And it may not come straight away, but it comes to me like something like, wouldn't it be a good idea if... Oh, I didn't think about that. Wouldn't it be a good idea if... And he speaks to us all in many ways. We have his word. We have each other. But the sheep know his voice. And God speaks to us if we would listen. And we have to train that ear, and it takes a lifetime. Because the Bible tells us even Satan comes as an angel of light. And that can be part of steal, kill and destroy. And we can get it wrong. But over time, with discernment and understanding and investment, we can hear God quite clearly. But we need to invest in that. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for somebody else. You're going to have to do that for yourself. And I think a change of attitude is just this. You know what? Whatever happens, Lord, I recognize the sovereignty of God. I know you know the full picture. I know you know more than I do. Will we trust God? When we were saved, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's what we signed up for. I will place my complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what happens in my life. I had surgery a few years ago in RE Medica. for cancer, and they got me to sign a disclaimer. And basically it was, if they kill me in surgery or through negligence, I can't claim. Phew, and I signed it. Or they wouldn't do the surgery. Will we sign this? Or can we remind ourselves we've already signed it? Oof. It's gone a bit quiet. Somebody put the parno back on? It's getting a bit hot in here. Will we place our trust in God? Coming to a close. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Will you place your trust in Him this morning? I suggest that you do. Don't leave here without peace. Don't leave here without peace. Whatever you're facing, whatever accusations the enemy's throwing at you, we are promised peace. No matter how bad you've messed up, there is grace. There is grace. Jesus died and was punished and murdered upon a cross so we could experience peace in this life and in eternity with Him. Do not leave this place without doing business with God. No matter what you're facing, I urge you. And this is the message. Slow down. Slow down your life and spend time with God. Get away with Him. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Know that the Lord delights in you. And no matter what you do, will make Him love you anymore. Or no matter how bad the things that you do or have done in the past, He died for you. That you could be free from any accusation, fear, regret, worry. Slow down. Process, ponder, meditate upon God's word. Listen to His voice. Tune in. And spend time with your Father, because He delights in you. He delights in you. Repent and confess. Keep short accounts with God, because we have all fallen short, friends. And if we think we're without sin, we're deceiving ourselves. But if we confess our sin, God is what? He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin. The worship team, get ready to come back. I would really encourage you this morning to slow down your lives. As I was praying and preparing this message, I had a lot of you on my heart and mind. God was showing me pictures of you and your life, and your struggles, and the overwhelming factor on numerous people I was interceding for, myself and my own family included. God was saying, slow down. Slow down. Father God, I thank You for Your bride, for Your church. Thank You for Your word. We thank You that You are the Prince of Peace. We thank You, Lord, that You sent Your Holy Spirit to be a comfort, to be a guide, to be Emmanuel, to be God with us. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't get drunk on wine, but we would be filled with You, Your power, and Your presence. Help us in the busyness of life to take time out to get away with you and to learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen.